Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Terry Lynn Carrington is a rarity in jazz. She's a female drummer. She's also one of the best drummers in the world. Jazz Times has called her prowess and power undeniable. Her latest CD, The Mosaic Project, won the 2012 Grammy Award for Best Jazz Vocal Album. Carrington is the focus of the third story in our continuing series, Boston Visionaries, and our own Meghna Chakrabarty produced our Carrington profile. So, Meghna, tell us a bit about Carrington and about that Grammy Award-winning CD.
So that CD is, as you said, The Mosaic Project, and it features an all-women cast of talent, including Esperanza Spalding and Cassandra Wilson. It's really a phenomenal piece of work. And I have to say that Terry Lynn Carrington is one of the most breathtaking musical talents I've ever seen. You know how this feels, Anthony, when you're in the presence of a musician who's like truly maybe one of the top five in the world.
Sure.
And the adrenaline of that, because they're just so good. Well, that's what it felt like watching her at the drums. But second, the other thing I really noticed about her is, I think this holds true for a lot of very talented female artists, it's that Terry Lynn Carrington has really resisted being pigeonholed by that female drummer label for about 40 years, and that, of course, is until recently she decided to do this collaboration on the Mosaic Project. So in this profile of her, that's the issue that we kind of concentrated on, what it means to be a female jazz visionary. Terry Lynn Carrington was a prodigy. She was born in 1965 to a musical family in Medford. Her grandfather, Matt Carrington, was a Boston session drummer who played with Duke Ellington and Fats Waller. He died before Terry Lynn was born, but his drums stayed in her house. She was just 7 years old when she first sat down behind them.
Started playing his instrument, and I feel a connection with him. I feel like somehow his spirit came into mine.
And it wasn't long before her mother, Judith, and her father, saxophone player Sonny Carrington, realized their daughter had jaw-dropping natural talent.
Kind of the early stages of playing the drums, I would go to clubs with my dad and sit in with people like Dizzy Gillespie and a lot of jazz legends because my dad knew them, so they were curious to hear me play.
The jazz world took notice. She was only 10, barely tall enough to see over the drums, when she played the Wichita, Kansas Jazz Festival in 1976. A year later, Lawrence Burke, founder of the Berklee College of Music, heard her play and offered the 11-year-old a full scholarship. Terry Lynn said yes. She wasn't even a teenager, walking the halls and jamming with musicians twice her age, so it could have been a difficult adjustment. But Carrington says she was cushioned by her family and supportive teachers. When she turned 18, she was ready to leave the nest. Carrington headed for New York and immediately started playing with jazz giants.
I was playing with people like Farrah Saunders, James Moody, New York Jazz Quartet, Lester Bowie, Clark Terry, that was my first gig.
That's her, with saxophonist Stan Getz on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Then I moved to L.A. I started playing with Wayne Shorter. And in those years, I was just touring mostly with Herbie.
You guessed it. That would be legendary pianist Herbie Hancock. Off stage, Carrington is an understated presence. She's serious, controlled, and somewhat enigmatic. When she's listening to music, her large, powerful hands are in constant motion. But other than that, there's not much to indicate her explosive talent. Perhaps that's exactly why she's been so successful in a world dominated by men. For Carrington, it's the music that matters, not her.
I didn't, think it was even that odd that I was a young woman playing. Even though I didn't see a lot of women playing, I wasn't getting gigs because I was a woman. But the female part just made it all a little more intriguing.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Her male mentors were the best in the business. Carrington says they never made her feel her gender was much of an issue. Her ability amazed them. Even at a young age, her drumming elevated everybody's play.
There's a lot of prodigies that don't actually make it later on. They don't play well with others. In jazz, there's a certain sense of maturity and wisdom and compassion and all these things that come into play because you're constantly being creative with a group of other people. And that, I think, was the thing that people marveled at a bit with me.
But last year, Carrington finally capitalized on the intrigue of being a female jazz drummer. Her Grammy Award-winning album, The Mosaic Project, is a celebration of women in jazz, featuring Esperanza Spalding, Sheila E., and Cassandra Wilson, among others. But as Jazz Times noted, the album is so good, it never gives a listener any reason to mull over the fact that it was crafted entirely by women. That observation dovetails perfectly with Carrington's core beliefs about jazz as an art form. First,
one thing I've learned is to never play down the listener. You know, you still have to respect the listener.
And second,
the great thing about jazz is the opportunity to be in the present completely. It's a very spiritual act.
Carrington's spiritual mentor, legendary saxophonist Wayne Shorter, called it seeing eternity. She says Herbie Hancock told her it's playing life, not music. Terry Lynn Carrington is now 47 years old. And over her long and stellar career, she says she's felt that sense of transcendence just once, playing with Hancock in the early 2000s.
And I felt for a moment like an observer, like I was almost watching us. And it was only for a moment, because as soon as I realized that's what was happening, I went back to the present tense, you know, opposed to this third realm that I was experiencing. And then when we got off stage, he just looked at me and said, "Now you're doing it."
Carrington's spiritual connection to the music matters because after taking home the Grammy this year, she could have cruised, touring and making money off the novelty appeal of an award-winning all-female jazz album. She didn't. Instead, she focused on the future of jazz, her students at the Berklee College of Music, the same place her career took off 3 decades ago as an 11-year-old wunderkind.
Most of them don't have the people in their life like I had in my life. So that, to me, is a responsibility to pass on the information, you know, not just the technical end of it.
This is one of Carrington's hand-picked student ensembles. As she says, great jazz is a synergistic effort. While that synergy came naturally to her, for many of her students, it takes practice and guidance. Flutist Sarpai Oshatai says for him, getting that guidance directly from Carrington has been transformative.
She doesn't say, okay, play this note here or play this like snare at that point. She always talks about how we can get together better when we add like her experience into ours. This is totally something new and perfect for me, at least.
For the last song at this rehearsal, Carrington takes over on drums. It's thrilling to watch. Her body hardly moves, but her hands are a blur. There's an elegance, authority, and ease in the way she plays, and the students feel it. They are inspired. And for a moment, following Terry Lynn Carrington's lead, the students play as if they too were prodigies.
Wow, Magna, jaw-dropping natural talent indeed.
She was amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like. And it sounds like she takes her role as a teacher really seriously. Is she still performing a lot?
Yeah, she does, but only when she wants to, not necessarily because she has to. And that's the other thing about Terry Lynn that I found really interesting. She's also an entrepreneur. I mean, she's really thinking about how the music business is changing.
Changing because record deals harder to come by. Young musicians have to be their own, what, everything. They've got to do it all. Booking agents, producers, marketing, the whole thing. Right?
Exactly. She's called it the Wild West of the music industry. So she's formed a new technology company that's trying to come up with innovative ways to market digital content for musicians. So thinking of jazz not only as an art form, Terry Lynn Carrington also tries to think of it as a business that can survive.
Well, great piece about a great musician. And listeners, to catch up on our Visionary series and to see a video of Carrington leading an ensemble of her students at Berkeley, go to our website, radioboston.org.